Hello and welcome to the show. I'm Martin Willis, your host, and we have a fantastic show for you this evening. We have Mr. Calvin Parker on for the second time. I was really fortunate to have Calvin on a few years ago. It was really difficult to find him. Somehow I did. I can't remember how. And he's had a lot of things happen since then. This is in regards to the Pascagoula abduction incident. He has a new book out, and we're going to be talking about that and a lot more. Really glad to have him on. We are live right now on KGRA Radio and also on YouTube simulcast. And thank you to all supporters of the show. And it's time to bring Alejandro Rojas in. Hello, Alejandro.
Hello, hello. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Great to have you, as always. I know we couldn't make it last week, didn't work out, but that was because of stuff on my end. I was at the radio station. And by the way, it was a real fun interview I had last week with Mac Maloney and company. And it's real funny. I had either people absolutely love the show. I had some people tell me they listened 3 or 4 times, or some people did not like the show at all. Because we had a lot of humor in it, and I think there's a lot of people that just want to talk serious about UFOs.
I'm completely against humor.
I know you are.
Hate it.
I know this is too serious of a subject to, you know, make anything laughable at all. Right.
That's right.
Yeah. So how's everything going?
Good. I'm being serious. It's hard. It's really hard. I have to put a lot of effort into it to be serious. But yes, things are well. Been keeping very busy, writing about various things, and including UFOs. And I'm working on a story right now regarding something that I'm going to talk about in a minute. But doing good. And another thing I'm working on. Now I'm going to throw in a plug, but it happens.
Okay. Yeah.
All the t-shirts. So we've got lots of cool t-shirts for the UFO Congress. And of course, you know, my girlfriend owns it, so I have to work on it. But check out our Facebook, because lots of really cool t-shirt designs. Well, you saw a lot of them at the conference, and we've made them in different colors and stuff, and they're available on our store.
All right. So anyone can go on Facebook, Open Minds on Facebook, right?
Yeah. Go to Open Minds or go to UFOCongress.com and go to the store there, or go to the UFO Congress Facebook or Twitter. All of those places you'll find information about this. Now, did you get a t-shirt?
I certainly did.
You did?
And I wore it proudly at the MUFON Symposium.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what else we got? And these aren't even, you know, labeled with a logo. They should. But glow-in-the-dark alien hats. They're super cool on the store.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. How about that? I don't think I saw those at the conference.
People love glow-in-the-dark stuff. I got this glow-in-the-dark Roswell t-shirt that I wear sometimes, especially when we go to campouts or something with the local MUFON, because, you know, then they can see it glowing, and people are always like, get so happy about it. And I did. I haven't even got a chance to see it glow, but that Utah UFO Fest, I got a glow-in-the-dark. They had a really cool logo for their event, and I got a glow-in-the-dark shirt there. I haven't even tried it in the dark yet, but the glow-in-the-dark stuff's a lot of fun.
Yeah, awesome. I think that years ago, wasn't some of that glow-in-the-dark stuff radioactive?
Yeah.
I heard about some, like, you could actually... if you get too much of it or something.
Yeah, I don't remember the details, but something like that, because they even discovered the whole thing through some kind of something that radiated and was dangerous. But sometimes, you know, it's a fashion thing, and sometimes you have to sacrifice for fashion.
And, that's true. Also true.
Many people are very excited to employ the fashion of a glow-in-the-dark alien, and are willing to take some risks.
That's right. That's worth the risk right there.
But you will not get irradiated with the Congress glow-in-the-dark, just so
guaranteed.
People are aware.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, anything going on? Now, you said you had a story to talk about.
Yeah, one of the stories I want to talk about we haven't talked about yet, and I'm not sure if you've talked about this with any of your other guests, and if so, I'd love to hear that. But the Atom Project, have you heard about this?
Mm-mm.
Okay, so this is something new that To the Stars Academy has released. And, of course, we've talked a lot about To the Stars Academy, this new organization started by Tom DeLonge and these very high-level people, including Luis Elizondo, who used to run the Pentagon's government program on UFOs. Well, they announced the Atom Project. And what this is a in cooperation with EarthTech.org. EarthTech.org is a company that outsources engineering. It is owned by Dr. Hal Puthoff, or at least ran by him, who's also a member of To the Stars and worked for with Bigelow and others. And so they're coupled up, and what they're doing is they want to analyze material that is possibly from, you know, UFOs, essentially. And they're a kind of a project for doing that, and it's this Atom project. So now they're open for business, essentially. I think they got a lot of questions, so they posted another follow-up post saying, okay, here's some answers to the questions, such as how do we submit stuff? What are you looking for? What is the criteria that you meet and stuff like that? So, yeah, so it's really interesting. They want to analyze stuff. Now, of course, there is metamaterial or alleged metamaterial that they have that, you know, we haven't heard a whole lot about. In the New York Times article in December that broke the whole story about the government project, they talked about Bigelow even having to modify some buildings for some material that they have. And we've heard a little bit about this material here and there. I think Elizondo talked about it a couple of weeks ago on Coast to Coast AM. And you were there for MUFON. Do you know, did he talk about this at all with you or with MUFON?
No, I didn't hear about it there.
Yeah, I've talked to him a bit, and they're still very tight-lipped about this material. So hopefully we'll find out more. According to Tom DeLonge on social media, he says that they're going to be releasing some exciting news related to this project. So I'm hoping that it has something to do with these materials. But to be honest, it's a concern for me. I don't know. I would be hesitant to submit anything to their project currently, to be honest, because they haven't released any information about the materials they have, and they do say, and I'm going to look this up, sorry, see the top of my head, that's natural hair there, no hair loss, which is nice, but here's the phrase that I wanted to look up here. They do say the TTS Academy allows, also owns any analysis and media coverage of the material. That's one of the things that I would be curious about. Are they asking people to sign a non-disclosure? If so, you know, what are their timelines or, and their procedures around releasing information? What if they don't release information? When it came to Bigelow really didn't release much information about materials they looked at in the past few years. I mean, I would be worried about handing over, you know, complete control over communicating about your materials to the public. And I don't think they should be asking that. I think they need to modify and clarify a little bit there what they mean by that. And maybe even put in some steps. Here's what we would do if we found something. You know, we have, you know, a commitment to sharing this information with the public. So, you know, making sure they're saying they will share it. Because if they're just going to hoard it and keep it to themselves, like other scientific organizations, for instance, I can't remember the one that another scientific organization that was looking at pilot cases. They really didn't have a commitment to releasing stuff to the public, so they rarely did. And in fact, you know, for years, in fact, their last report was maybe 10, 15 years ago. I don't think I know Richard Haynes, the lead scientist, retired. And I think Ted Rowe runs it now. And I'm not sure if they're still, you know, actively doing anything, but that would be the concern. Often science types, and I know this working with scientists and even working with scientists in this field, are not as concerned about releasing information to the public. And no doubt there are people concerned with, you know, to the stars not releasing very much information to the public. In fact, a lot of people in the UFO field are frustrated about that. So I think that's an issue they're going to need to address more thoroughly before at least even I would feel comfortable handing anything over to them. Not that I have anything, but I do know of a couple people who have stuff that may be interesting. So, yeah.
Do you personally know some of the people there? I'm wondering, can you start that conversation?
Well, I'm going to attempt to, because as I write this story, you know, as a journalist, and for those who aren't aware, when you write, you need to be as unbiased as possible, and as thorough as possible, and bring up any, you know, issues. And that's something that I always attempt to do. And so this is an issue that I've raised, but this is a problem. And this kind of even speaks to that problem, is even as, you know, someone who's close to a lot of those guys, they don't have really a mechanism. They don't have a PR person or someone directly to go to. So it's difficult to get answers. And I'm not even sure. I may get a communication from someone off the record, but as far as writing a story about this, that doesn't help me, and it doesn't help them, because I've got to say, at least for what knowledge I know publicly, here's some concerns that I think need to be addressed. And even if I know off the record, you know, there are assurances. I think, you know, it's a perfect example of where, you know, public relations is important, because you need to say some of this stuff on the record, at least in a way that gives some people assurances. And, you know, you've also, if you're the UFO community, are the people that would have this material, who would know of this material to submit. So I think if you're going to, then you have to have some kind of address their concerns. And I know certainly their concerns are about a lack of flow of information. And so that it's something that has to be addressed publicly. And so hopefully that will happen. They do have some more information coming out. And I know that they do have a lot of really cool things going on that we will find out about, but that are also advancing the field. So I know they're up to some very important work. But, you know, if they really want to kind of grease the wheels and make all of this happen, I think that a little bit of some arm hugs to the community will work. And doing things like going and talking to MUFON will help. I guess my question to you would be, what was the sense that you got? How did people, you know, feel about Elizondo's talk there?
You know, there were a few people that I talked to that, you know, felt like the whole thing was like groundbreaking. And then there was a number of people that said there was no real reveal. You know, what I got out of the talk, I believe the most, the thing that hit me is if it's true, then, you know, he said by next year at this time, it's going to be a whole different world. That, I don't know exactly what that insinuates, but it sounded that they have some more things to reveal that are...
Yeah.
You know,
and that's the thing. Go ahead.
No, I think, you know, transparency is going to be, you know, would be more, you know, it helped them be more successful than, you know, being so holding it so tight to the vest. You know,
yeah.
So I hope they do. I hope they do open up a little bit.
And, you know, it's hard to translate statements like that too, and I think that's part of some of the feedback I've heard, which is unfortunate, I think, when it comes to this field, is just that when someone says, oh, we're going to have some really great information for you, Some people in this field could take that to mean, oh, we're finally going to reveal that Roswell was, you know, a craft that is in Bigelow's hangar or something like this. And that's really what some people are expecting. And to Elizondo and the group, they're like, what? They couldn't imagine. Nobody's thinking that. That's wild. That's crazy. But no, that's what people are thinking in this field. And so I think when you say something amazing is coming, you've got to kind of give it a little more context so that people don't set expectations that are, you know, just way, way out of line, and then are extremely disappointed when something doesn't come. I'm along the line of people who, that's a historic event. This is a guy, MUFON has probably had, and for decades they have not had someone part of an official government program, especially a secret one, come and talk to them. Never yeah. has that ever happened in the history of ufology, or especially for MUFON. And so it definitely was a historic thing. So the other issue with that perspective of, you know, things are going to be different in a year, they're different right now. Right now, this conversation is completely different. When news outlets like the Washington Post and others are saying that, you know, UFOs are now a serious, credible topic, that is completely different than November, than just
That's right.
before the New York Times article came out. So things are already completely different. How much more different can they get?
Yeah, along those lines, Calvin Parker's Pascagoula story is actually getting a lot of press because people are
exactly.
like they're starting to take these things serious, and now they're, you know, there's an eye on it right now. And he's had, I'm going to talk to him, but I know he's had at least two or three television appearances since his book was released.
Yeah, it's exciting. You know, I know that the Wendell Stevens book was reprinted by Philip Mantle, and then I know Philip worked to get this new book with Calvin to get this new book out. And it is extremely exciting because this is a great case. And you're right, this is a great example because there's been a lot of serious press about this case, and it's been great to see. And that wouldn't be the case if we weren't in a different world regarding this topic right now. So when you say something like, oh, it's going to be a different year in a year, it's like, what does that mean? It's already completely different. Are we going to be chumming around with aliens? I mean, in this, you know, some context would help. And I definitely am sharing that feedback.
Great. Okay. Hey, well, we went a little bit long, and so thanks so much, Alejandro. And we'll talk to you next week, right?
Thank you. And yeah, look for my story on this at openminds.tv and the next day or two.
Excellent. All right. Hey, thanks a lot.
Thank you. See ya.
All right. Talk to you soon. All right, everyone. So now to our guest. We have Calvin Parker. And again, like I mentioned, he was actually on I can't even remember the date he was on, but anyway, he's a fine gentleman. I'm really looking forward to talk to him. And Calvin, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. Good to be back.
Yeah. Now you, it's great. I have you on video and everything. This is really great. So, hey, Calvin, just to let the audience know, you're having major thunderstorms down there, and you lost electricity just before we went on the air, and hopefully that won't happen again. Right now, we got you.
I did, and they kind of pass by a little bit now, but they come and go down here in the south.
That's right. Calvin, this is really great having you on, and it's totally my pleasure. Can you kind of give an overall, we have to go to break in about 6 minutes, but I'd like for you, the person that's never heard anything about the Pascagoula abduction incident, to just tell the story, if you think you can, within 6 minutes or so.
Okay. Well, this happened October 11th, 1973. A friend of mine, Charles Hickson, and I had got off work at the shipyard where we was working and decided to go fishing. We went to, there was two locations we was going to. So the first one was the grain elevator and then the old Shaw Peters shipyard. So when we got to the shipyard, we had to walk through a bunch of debris and mess. It was just a mess getting down to where we was going to fish. So we finally struggled and got down, started doing our fishing, sat down. We mostly just relaxing. And I seen some lights out across the water, but they was coming from behind us. It was blue lights just like the patrol cars use here. So I told Charlie, I said, you know, we parked up there on private property. They're going to make us move. Even though it's a damn mess or darn mess, they're going to make us move our car. We have to walk back through this stuff. So he stood up and I stood up and turned around and looked. And it was more than blue lights there. About that time, Charlie stood up. And one of the brightest lights I believe I've ever seen coming from a confined area. It just appeared. It was, it's hard to describe. It looked like a welder welding. And that was the door on the craft. I assume that was the door opening up, and the lights from inside the craft just opened up. Well, when it opened up, there was three creatures, or I call them creatures, floated out. They didn't touch the ground. They didn't seem to walk or anything, but they floated or hovered about 2 foot off the ground. Two of them got a hold of Charlie. One of them got a hold of me. And immediately when they got a hold of me, I felt relaxed because I feel like they gave me some kind of injection to relax me. Because before that, before they got there, I know I was trying to find a place to get out of there. I was going to run somewhere, but it was nowhere to run. I had water in the front, water on the side, and big spacecraft in the back. So
hang on, just one. Now the spacecraft, it wasn't over the water, it was behind you.
Yes, sir.
I see. So you were just blocked off from going anywhere, really.
Well, it was right? Blocked off. It was probably 300 foot back there, length of a football field behind us. And it was a lot of trash and debris and marsh grass. I don't know if anybody can relate to the marsh grass without being down here. So we was blocked. There was water on both sides, and it was junk in the water on the left and old shipyard junk in the water on the right and a river in the front of us.
Wow.
So it was nowhere to go. But once they got a hold of my arm, it just relaxed me. I feel like they gave me an injection, and later in the physical that they gave us at the hospital, they found a puncture mark on my arm. But I don't know if they did blood work and all, but I don't know whatever come of that. They never said.
Really? Wow.
So anyhow, this one got a hold of me, and I couldn't see Charlie no more after that, because it grabbed me and kind of forced me. When it touched me, I just more or less floated up to the elevation it was, about 2 foot off the ground, and we glided into the craft. And again, I was hunting lights or something. I couldn't turn my head, but I was looking in the craft. You couldn't see no light bulbs in there. The light was just coming out of the wall. Now, wow. I don't know why the lights had to be that bright, but they were. So when they took us aboard the craft, we made kind of a left turn and then like a right turn. And this one being or creature or soldier, I call him more or less a soldier, took me in and propped me on what I thought was a table, but I couldn't feel one under me. And I was at about a 45 degree angle. So while I was at this angle, there's something that had come out of the wall about the size of a deck of cards. And it had a silver top looking and a blue bottom. And it just got to my head. It circled around my head. And every time it would get to about a quarter of way, it would click. It clicked four times. And then it just went right back up into the wall. And then the old big ugly creature just got up and left. I mean, he went out the door. He came in with, I don't know where he went. And this more feminine looking creature, I call it a woman, but I'm not for sure if it's a woman or a man or what. It was just smaller. And I was thinking to myself, you know, I ought to be able to take this one and get out of here, because I was ready to go, but I couldn't move. I mean, she was, or it was completely safe, because come over to me, it took her fingers and probed around on my face and all a little bit, and moved my skin, looked at my eyeballs, and things, you know, kind of similar like that, more or less like a physical exam. And then she just went back, and I couldn't really see if she went in a door or what happened, and more or less disappeared. And that's when the other one came back in the same direction, grabbed me by the arm again, the same arm, lifted me, and floated me out the door and took me to the river and set me down. And I was facing the river, and my arms were stretched out, and I couldn't move. And I heard Charlie, "Son, son, you okay?" And I wanted to say, "No, I'm not okay, you know, but I'm okay."
All right. Well, I'm sorry, we're going to have to go to break. So we'll just leave it right there. We'll pick it right back where we left off after the break. So, everyone, thanks so much. You're listening to KGRA Radio, and my guest is Calvin Parker, and we'll be right back after this commercial break. Stay with us. All right, everyone. So that's it for the free part of the show. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be back next week with Charlotte Mann. And it should be a really interesting show. It was a case about her grandfather back in 1941, an early case where there was supposed alien bodies. He was a doctor, and this was in Missouri. It should be a great show, and I'm looking forward to it myself. And I want to thank everyone for listening. If you want to sign up for the full shows, which are 2 hours long or just under, all you have to do is go to podcastufo.com, and on the menu bar, support the show, and you can see that information. It could be a monthly payment for as low as $2 a month, or a yearly payment once a year for $25, and you get to listen to all the shows and archives. All right. Thanks so much, everyone. Remember to keep your eyes to the sky.